Good morning. It's time for another conversation. This is High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, here on Talk 960. We're keeping it local with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's start talking.
Well, good morning, Roxanne.
Good morning, Regina, and happy Mother's Day weekend to everyone.
Thank you, and a special happy Mother's Day to your mom.
I'll tell her.
The moms who are out there. I hope that you're listening to this with breakfast in bed and flowers and the house is clean.
Everything you deserve.
All that good stuff that you deserve, right? Yes. And you know, Roxanne, I'm really excited because even though it's Mother's Day weekend, we're talking to two individuals who have done some extraordinary work here in the High Desert in the realm of education. And I'm really excited because we got a history maker sitting in the room with us, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I'm happy to introduce Superintendent David Olney, and I introduce him as the superintendent, but also as my friend. You know, you just meet people sometimes and it just clicks, right? And David has served as superintendent to Hesperia Unified School District for 8 years, right? But his career spans over 40 years in education. That's a true commitment, I got to tell you, you know. And we want to say thank you for that. Now, you've also resided here in the High Desert for over 35 years, right?
Actually, this time it's been 32 years. However, I was here for a few years before I left and went off to college.
Okay.
So I actually graduated from Victor Valley High School.
Oh, look at that. Oh, my God. And so you are retiring this June.
Yes.
Right? And I'm so excited that you're here with us this morning to just, I would love to have you share some of your cherished and memorable accomplishments.
Your journey too as well. Were you a teacher, and how did you, is this something you always wanted to do, to work in education? We'd love to hear about that.
Yes, and then we also have a special guest that I'm going to have you introduce. So why don't you just kind of give us a little bit of your background, of your journey over that 40 years, and then kind of, I would love to hear a little bit about, I guess, the direction of the district.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Roxanne, I'm gonna address your question first, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You know, the idea of, you know, how did it all start, and did you always want to be a teacher? No, I was not one of those that when I was a kid that I was teaching teddy bears on my bed or anything like that. And as a matter of fact, you know, when I graduated from college, I attended UC Riverside. And when I graduated, I still didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up or was growing up. And my mother, of all people, since it's Mother's Day, I'll honor her a little bit.
Yes.
She said, you know, Dave, you're good with kids. Why don't you think about being a teacher? And, of course, you know, I'm a 21, 22-year-old young man. I don't want to do what my mother's telling me to do. But at that point, I needed to do something, so I began substitute teaching, and that was down in the Riverside Unified School District.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I was fortunate enough to get a long-term sub job almost right away. I worked under a principal by the name of Kathy Taylor, who I think deserves a lot of credit for where I sit today. But I just fell in love with teaching.
And, you got bit.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I went from long-term to long-term to long-term, finished off that year and decided, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And so I began as a regular teacher the following year.
What did you teach?
You know, that first year I taught elementary school. I taught sixth grade.
Okay.
And most of those long-term assignments were elementary, and it just seemed, oh, you know, I'm doing a good job. Now, let me clarify. It was the older kids in elementary.
Right.
I did substitute first grade one day, and I did make them all cry by lunchtime, and decided the primary was probably not where I needed to be, and so I did teach the upper grades. Now, they were all my best friend by the end of the day, but I realized how tough, and I tell you, I pay homage to our primary teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just a It takes a special person to be able to sit and work with 5 and 6 and 7 year olds.
Yes.
I'll take the grumpy older kids any day. But after that first year, I went into middle school, taught at the middle school level, went into Hesperia Junior High School. It was the first school that I taught at in Hesperia.
Oh, okay.
And taught at Hesperia Junior High for a few years. Got my first administrative position at Cottonwood Elementary School as an assistant principal. Went back to Hesperia Junior High, was administrator there. Sultana. When I went to Sultana, because I had never taught high school, I said, okay, I at least want to be in the classroom. And so I taught summer school, taught government and econ for summer school, yeah. And my guest, who I'll introduce in a moment, is laughing because she remembers these days. All in all, in Hesperia, spent 28 years.
Right. And then when did you make the move over to the district?
Okay.
So around 2010, I actually left Hesperia Unified, went down to the county, worked for a couple of years in the county, decided the county is a great place. I enjoyed my time there, but I have to admit I knew
you missed the students, huh?
I missed the students, and to be honest with you, I missed the community.
Mm-hmm.
San Bernardino County is just so large.
Yeah.
And it was great to go in and to be able to interact with folks in different districts and glean from, you know, what different districts were doing. But I really missed being part of the community. And so I threw my name in the hat for a superintendency of all places in Trona, which is as far north in San Bernardino County
goodness,
as you can go.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And I was offered the superintendency there and worked there for 3 years. And David McLaughlin, who was the superintendent in Hesperia at the time, asked me if I would consider coming back because he was going to retire in a year or two and thought I would be a good successor as superintendent. So,
wow. And so you obviously said yes.
I did. Yeah.
And you've spent 8 years in that role. And what would you say, Superintendent, is your, I don't know if your most memorable or fondest accomplishment, but what are you most proud of that you've been able to do over that 8 years of being there?
You know, I think if I say what I'm most proud of, it really is working to build a cohesive team. When I take a look, you know, we are the largest employer in the High Desert.
Yes.
We have almost 3,000 employees. And it is very easy to operate in silos. And even in smaller school districts, it's easy to operate
yes.
in silos. But if you're really going to implement sustainable change, it takes everyone. And so how do you break down those silos? How do you engage in dialogue? How do you develop this sense, whether you are a secretary on a school site, whether you're the superintendent, how do you develop that sense of ownership that we are all in this together, that we serve our community, that we serve our children, that we're taking a look at what's working, what's not working, how do we make what's working better, how do we abandon what isn't working or change it so it does work? Because at the end of the day, what we are charged with doing is preparing our most precious resource, which is
yes.
our young people.
Yeah. Yeah. And so is there anything that's outstanding? Was there an initiative? Is it that, just let's look at the period of going through COVID, right? And so coming out of COVID, how you and your team across the board have been able to pivot and accommodate students' needs. I know you guys you were very much on the front line and very innovative when COVID hit with just making sure that students ate. Right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Making sure that they had something to eat. And I know there's been several programs that you've done over the years to make sure that during summertime when school is out, that students eat. And I know a lot of times people, you know, take that for granted or don't really understand that for what it is. But quite often, the students that are on your campus, the only meals that they get are the meals that they get while they're at school. And so when school is not in session, there's a deficit for them. And we all know that that's not healthy for any of our kiddos, right? And so just is there anything like that that you can really say you have taken great pride in?
Well, you know, I'm actually going to go back to what I was saying before. So let's just say that you are in a large organization, which this very unified school district is, and that you're all operating in your various silos, and all of a sudden something, the scale of a pandemic occurs.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that you have to do is try to figure out how to bring all those people together. Well, if you're already together, you're ready to turn on that dime to shift and do what needs to be done. So when you go back, and I really try not to go back to that time too often, because it certainly wasn't
I can
the most enjoyable
time
of my
career. Yes, I can definitely understand.
But there is a huge sense of pride, because you talk about serving meals. We immediately had that going. I can tell you, and I remember very clearly, it was March 13th, 2020, and when the decision was made that we were closing schools, and by this time, you know, LA Unified had already closed, Orange County, San Diego, you know, and then it was San Bernardino and Fontana. You could just see, you know, the dominoes happening. That afternoon, when it was finally, yes, all of our districts here are closing as well, immediately our educational services department went, you know, right into developing resources for parents. We did not think, I mean, as a matter of fact, I remember clearly telling everybody, look, this is going to be a week or two. We'll be back. Mm-hmm. We had spring break coming up.
Yes.
I figured we were going to be back in 2 weeks.
I think we all kind of thought that.
Yeah. And that did not happen. But even in that time, we were already providing resources to parents, providing resources for our students, making sure that meals were happening. Because we have been on the forefront of technology, we were a one-on-one district, you know, before most.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grades 1 through 12 had Chromebooks. I mean, we immediately were able to mobilize IT, and kids were able to come pick up materials, pick up their technology. And so we were already shifting into continuing instruction.
Right.
I think when everybody else was still
trying to figure it out.
With the logistics, mm-hmm.
kinda,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So very, very proud of that. But I will think also the thing that I'm really proud of is that, you know, we weren't, obviously there were funds coming in to support us during that time. But I think that for a lot of districts, I don't know how much thought was going into what they were doing with those funds. I think we were very strategic,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, how do we reach out to the community? And one of the things that we're really proud of, and if you've driven by Hesperia High School, our flagship high school in the district, right now we're putting together the Hesperia High School Event Center,
mm-hmm.
Which is not only going to be a place where our drama and band can perform, but we also can serve our community. The front is going to be a community center. And so we've partnered with Providence St. Mary, IEHP, the Department of Behavioral Health, the Desert Mountain Children's Center, even in the design of this building. And so that was from the get-go, and looking at, you know, how do we best serve our community. That building is, you know, slated to be done, I think, probably November of this mm-hmm. year. I can't wait to see
that.
That
would be a great resource.
That's exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's exciting. Well, you know what? You have a special guest with you.
I do.
And I don't want to steal the thunder, but I think I am. Because it's Mother's Day weekend, right?
You're allowed to do that, Regina.
Okay. But I really want to welcome the incoming superintendent, who is Michelle Smith, who is a history maker, Roxanne.
Yes, I were talking about earlier, she taught at my junior high, and yeah, but I never had her as a teacher, so.
And you didn't know at that time mm-hmm. that you were being taught by the woman who is going to go down in the history books as being the first woman
that is
to serve
yeah.
as superintendent for Hesperia Unified School District.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ms. Smith, we want to welcome you.
Well, thank you.
Excited to have you here. I understand that you are a longtime resident.
I am. Let's see.
Did you also graduate from high school?
I graduated from Hesperia High School. I attended a few of our schools, Joshua Circle, Juniper, Hesperia Junior, and Hesperia High.
The first graduating class.
Yes, the first graduating class at Hesperia High.
Well, how fitting it is to become the first woman superintendent of, yes, absolutely.
Yes, I just think that's wonderful. I'm excited about that. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about what got you here to this particular point of assuming the role of superintendent?
Oh, wow. Such a long journey. So this year is my 31st year in the district, and I have to admit that this really is my only real career, real job I've ever had. I think prior to becoming a teacher, I had little odd jobs, but being a teacher was my first job. And I've been in Hesperia for my entire career. I was a math teacher at Hesperia High School. And then from there went on to be a vice principal at Hesperia Junior High. And at that time, Mr. Olney was the assistant principal. So I learned under his tutelage in my very first administrative job. And then I moved back over to Hesperia High. I was the vice principal and then the assistant principal there for several years. And then I had the opportunity to follow in Mr. Olney's footsteps. He had been the principal at Cedar Middle School, and he was leaving to go to the county, which he had just shared with us here. And I was asked if I would like to apply for the position of principal of Cedar Middle School. And I was told by our then assistant superintendent that Mr. Olney had highly recommended me to follow him at that school. And so that was a great opportunity. And it was a great school. And it had been set up very, very well. He opened that school. It was a very new school.
Okay.
And it had been set up very well. So very excited to have done that. And then I was able to go back to my alma mater and serve there as the principal of Hesperia High School for several years before moving to the district office.
Wow.
Isn't it amazing? Just comes full circle. Did you ever think that was going to happen?
No. And so what's funny is just like Dave, I did not see myself as being a teacher. I did not see myself going into education. When I started college, I was going into law or going into business. And then I was taking a calculus class, and it's funny because back then some of our classes were out at George Air Force Base for VVC. So I was going to Victor Valley College, and I was taking a calculus class out at George Air Force Base, and I was finding myself as the classroom tutor. You know, we'd get there early, and I was helping people with the calculus, and I never even saw myself as the mathematician. I thought of myself as the writer, not the mathematician. But when I was able to help people to grasp some of those mathematical concepts that they were struggling with, it was so fulfilling. And at that time, I knew, okay, this is my calling. This is what I need to be doing.
Yes. Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about moving forward. Now we're here, and so is there something, what's your vision? I guess is a better way. What is your vision for helping to move Hesperia Unified School District forward?
Well, I think the most important thing is knowing that we're already moving in the right direction. And so to move forward from here, there are some natural next steps, some natural continuing and growing and expanding the path that we're already on. I've been at the district office. This is my 8th year there. So I was there as the director of secondary education when we went through the pandemic. And then now I'm serving as the assistant superintendent of educational services. So being on Dave's team and cabinet already and being a part of that building out of a very coherent and cohesive district, there was a time in our district I feel like we all felt we were on separate little islands out there. And now to be in a district where it does feel very connected and very supportive. And so I think I'm just excited to continue the work. I'm excited to take that on and to help build out. I don't know any better way to say it. There's no giant turn that we need to take in any way. One of the things that that I will say that my dear friend and colleague, Mr. Olney, has failed to mention is that one of his priority has been not just to become a coherent district, but to also be fully supportive of staff and students beyond academics. Mm. So really supporting the well-being of our staff and our students. And I think that that has been a huge step forward that he took for the district, and to continue that and make sure that we're really wrapping around our community and our families. We've begun a community schools implementation across the district. And so we've got some next steps there. And the biggest is there at Hesperia High, really tightening those partnerships and seeing that out to fruition. But several of our other schools have some tight partnerships with resources for our students and families. And they are building out that community schools model throughout our district.
I love that kind of that whole healthy, that you know, overall wellness, because it whether we understand it that way or not, all of those elements play a role.
Yes.
They really do. So, Superintendent Olney, I'm going to ask you before we end, what is your hopes and vision as you are moving on to another journey? Or a path in your journey, but what is your hopes for Hesperia Unified School District?
Well, I think Michelle spelled it out well. I think that if you take a look at the last 8 years that I've been blessed to be the superintendent, I think we have moved in a very healthy and positive direction. Obviously, dealing with the pandemic in between. If you look at right before the pandemic, I think we were making such huge strides, huge growth. The pandemic happens. I think we dealt with that to the best of our abilities.
Right.
And now I feel, and Michelle has just done an amazing job as the Assistant Superintendent of Ed Services. I think that we're really honing in on academically the directions that we need to go. I think it's really... Her bringing up the idea of student wellness and staff wellness, I think, is huge. It really is kind of continuing to mobilize, find the areas that we need to address for our students to be as successful as they can. And look, we've made huge growth.
You have.
I'll just share with you one of the things that I'm incredibly proud of. When I first took over as superintendent, we had about a third of our students who were what we consider to be A through G ready or completers. And A through G are the requirements, not grades. We didn't add a grade to A through F. It's the requirements in order to get into Cal State or University
right.
of California.
Mm-hmm.
We're about a third, right around 32-33%. Right now, last year, we were over 50%. Hesperia High School, as a matter of fact, was close to 70%.
Wow.
So you see that... I think we've made huge strides in getting our students ready for the next step and to be successful no matter what path they decide to go down.
Mm-hmm.
You take a look at our career technical education programs. My gosh, last night at the board meeting, I could have talked for mm-hmm. easily an hour on all the accomplishments of our students and our programs.
Yeah, you guys have been very technology forward.
You know, construction technology, informational technology, culinary arts. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, all the different things that we have our kids that are you know, pursuing.
Right.
So I think that really honing in on the areas, one, Michelle has spearheaded an effort to really address math. And math isn't a Hesperia issue. It's a nationwide
issue. It's nationwide.
And it has to be systemic improvement. And that's what the work that she's begun. I'm so excited to see where this ends up in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Because when you're changing an entire system, it's not flipping a switch. It really is something that you have to be persistent and intentional about.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're doing, early literacy efforts. And again, just to make sure that we're continuing to provide the support to our kids. Again, the community school effort is going to be absolutely huge.
Yes.
And we can't forget about supporting the staff.
Yeah.
Right now, and I'm going out, so I'll say it. I think right now that there has been an attack on public education.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that we have so many amazing people that are coming into work every day trying to do best for our kids, and we need to find ways to better support them.
To support them. I couldn't agree with you more. I want to thank you both for being here today. Congratulations to you.
Yes.
And congratulations to you, Ms. Smith. And assuming this new role, we definitely extend an invitation to have you come back once you've gotten firmly into the seat, and maybe talk to us about the upcoming school year.
And about the Event Center, Hesperia High School.
Yes,
that is awesome.
Because you have a lot of things that will be going on. And you, my friend, have an open invitation, because I know, although you're going to start living that best life, so to speak, right, that will take you far and wide, hopefully. I'm sure that there are going to be things that you're going to be involved in right here in the community.
That still involve education.
Yes, and so you have an open invitation to come anytime and share with us some of those wonderful things that you'll be participating and supporting here in the community. But to the both of you, thank you so much for coming and spending your Mother's Day with us. And thank you for the tremendous work that you do. You know, when you have a career that spans 30 years plus, you're dedicated, you have anchored in, and you've done that in the best interest of our kids. And
are you going to miss it?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. When you do what you've done for as long as I have, oftentimes it's the family that pays the price. So I'm really looking forward to spending more time with my wife, my granddaughter, my kids. But I will also say, I'm going to miss the day-to-day interaction with the amazing people that I get to work with. Mm-hmm.
Well, we want to say to your family that we thank them for their sacrifice in allowing you to do what it is you do, because there's been many of us who have been blessed and made better because of it. And so thank you to them for that. So we appreciate you, and Ms. Smith, we'll look forward to having you back.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Regina Weatherspoon Bell of Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. Every 40 seconds, someone in the United States has a stroke, which is nearly 800,000 Americans have a stroke every year. Every second counts when it comes to a stroke. Remember this acronym, BFAS. B, loss of balance or dizziness. E, for eyes blurred or loss of vision. F, face is one side drooping. A, arms. Can they raise both arms, or is one arm weak or numb? S, for speech. Is it slurred or strange? Difficulty in speaking. T, for time. Call 911 immediately. Recognizing these signs can save a life, maybe even yours. It did mine. When you spot a stroke warning sign, act fast. Recognizing the stroke warning signs and calling 911 immediately may be the difference between a strong recovery or long-term disability, survival or death. Remember, be fast. May is Stroke Awareness Month and is represented by the color red. For more information, always contact your primary physician, and you can also visit stroke.org for more info and resources.
Thanks again for being a part of the conversation. Reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at roxannescafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. We'll talk to you next weekend.